It's hard to believe that school begins this week, right? Some of you are so excited about that. Yeah, get them out of the house. Get them back with somebody else for 8 hours a day, right? But it's hard to believe. It's kind of that season, right? And for all intents and purposes, it's kind of we're moving towards fall. I mean, it still feels hot as blue blazes outside, but we're moving towards fall. We're moving towards that, you know, that season that happens in the fall, and along with that comes a lot of decisions that have to be made. I like to think that the fall is what we call commitment season, right? You're going to make some commitments. It used to be that commitment time was more in the January area. You know, we make resolutions, we make decisions in the first of the year. That's kind of our commitment time. But it's really the fall when you think about it. We make commitments. We decide where we're going to put our energy. We decide where we're going to put our focus. We decide what's going to get our attention, what's going to get our time, what's going to get our resources, right? I mean, really think about it. The fall is kind of that time. We sign kids up for athletics. We sign kids up for different organizations, different events, different activities. So this is commitment season. And so I thought for the next couple of weeks, I want to talk to you about commitment. Because to be honest, that word commitment is diluted in our culture today. We don't really have a lot of commitment. We're not really committed people anymore. We hop around, we discard, we throw away. We're not committed. We're not committed to people. We're not committed to organizations. We're not committed to restaurants. I mean, you know, one bad meal, we're out of there, we'll never do it again, and we get on social media and we tear them apart, right? Committed. So what are you committed to? What is commitment to you? And I want to help you understand commitment through the prophet Jeremiah's eyes. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah, Old Testament, a little more than halfway through. And we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 17 because he gives us this picture of what I think commitment looks like. All right, and so I want to kind of unpack it with you. He starts out by saying this in verse 5. Thus says the Lord. Now, anytime a passage of Scripture starts out that way, that's a pay attention notice. Okay, because it's God talking. Jeremiah is saying, this is not me, this is God talking. All right, so he says, God says this. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Those are pretty heavy words, right, to kind of jump off with. Cursed, right? Well, what does that mean? Basically, what he's saying is if you're expecting a different outcome from this process, you're going to be disappointed because this process is cursed. This process is not going to happen. You're putting your trust in man is not going to have the outcomes that you desire. He goes on. He says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man and makes flesh his strength. In other words, if you're relying on yourself, that's a cursed process. That's not going to get you where you want to go. It says also, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Again, that's a bad decision. He goes on. He is like a shrub in a desert. So he's drawing us a picture. How many of you have ever driven through a real desert? Right? You know, been out west and you've driven through the desert. I mean, you can go miles and miles and miles and see nothing. And all of a sudden you might see this shrub, but it's not pretty, right? It's just a scrubby shrub. He says, you're like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. So what he's saying is when you put your trust in yourself, when you put your trust in your own strength, when you put your trust in man, that's not going to have the outcomes you want. As a matter of fact, you're going to be like a shrub in the desert with no good outcome. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. You're going to be isolated. You're going to end up not where you want to be. So that's the first picture. Remember, but he goes further. He says, blessed is man. So the opposite of cursed, right? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. So cursed if you focus on yourself and you try to operate in your own strength or let man be the one you place your trust in. Blessed if you put your trust in the Lord because he's like a tree. See, the other's like a scrub, prickly old bush sitting in the desert. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when he comes because he's rooted, right? For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So regardless of what comes up against it, it's rooted, right? The scrub brush is just out there to be tossed around. The tree is rooted because it has a source for nourishment. It has a source for health. And so what he's doing is he's drawing a picture for us of what oftentimes we do. And he's focusing on what are you putting your attention on? What are you allowing to direct your life? We just finished this whole road trip series where we talked about, you know, that we're on a journey and we ought to be moving towards a direction or an outcome. And he said, you know, what Jeremiah's saying, if you put your trust in man, if you put your trust in yourself, that direction's not gonna turn out the way you want it to be. Let me help you see it this way. The direction of a man's trust determines the direction of his life. So what are you putting your trust in? Because that's what you're committed to. Commitment is about trust. Trust is about commitment. And what we put our trust in determines our outcome. So the big question is this. Are you a shrub or a tree? Are you the prickly shrub in the desert trying to survive, trying to do your own thing, or you are the tree rooted and receiving the stream of life that God has for you? That's commitment. You're going to be committed to something, right? We're all committed to something, either ourselves or we're committed to God. We're committed to the short-term things of this world, or we're committed to the everlasting things of God. So that's the big question. What are you rooted to? What are you building your life on? Here's another big idea that you need to grab. We are built for God. Did you know that? It's in your DNA. You are built to connect to God. It's a part of who you are. And unless we recognize and act upon that with conviction, we're like the prickly shrub in the desert, unable to utilize the good that God has placed around us. See, it's like this. God places in our lives this stream of opportunity. It's like a river that flows and moves through our lives. The question is, are we planting next to it? Make sense? Because if we plant on our own and away from, saying, I can provide my own nourishment, I can provide my own health, then we're like the prickly shrub. We're there, but we're not thriving. Or we can be like the tree who discovers what God has placed in their lives, that stream of opportunity, and we commit ourselves to that. So you're either committed to yourself or you're committed to God. So today I want to help you understand commitment. And I want to take it from a couple of different perspectives, a couple of different pictures of commitment, because what you see here at Bridgepoint, we're one of those streams. And that you can either plant yourself with us and therefore discover what God wants for you, or you can try to do it in isolation and be out in the desert. So let me help you understand. I want to invite Tyler to come out first. Tyler is our next gen pastor, and Tyler's responsibility is all of our age group ministries. Right, Tyler?
Yes, sir.
And so your job is to provide, in the metaphor, streams of opportunity, nourishment, growth for children all the way up through young adults. Right?
Yep.
So when you think about commitment, what does that spark in you? What jumps out at you about that?
Yeah, because Bridgepoint is a place that's committed to providing ministry areas that believe your kid was destined for more than average or for more than just status quo, this is a place that you want to make sure your kid is a part of, be it birth all the way up to that young adult age. And here's kind of what that means. It played out perfectly in my family's life just last night. Because sometimes we have to do for our kids or commit for our kids what they're unable to make the decision for themselves. Last night, my three-year-old, Judah, this is the first time we've gotten to this place. You veteran parents are going to laugh because I'm just getting started. We were at the dinner table, and for the first time, Judah stayed 30 minutes longer than the rest of us at the dinner table because he did not want to finish eating his what? vegetables, broccoli and green beans specifically. And he was just looking, saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And I was like, yes, you are. And so we went round and round. Basically, I had to begin a process that for him is super frustrating, and I even get it because it's broccoli and green beans. But I wanted to set the tone for him that this matters. You know, eating healthy matters. Disciplines that are good for you matter. And while they may not always be fun, they're important. And so I had to choose that for him. Now,
but let me just tell you, my brother one time was in that same dilemma, young kid.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah, my youngest brother. And he didn't want to eat his beans. And my parents said, you're going to sit there until you eat your green beans. And then she used the thing that we often use to motivate him. Hey, there are kids in other countries that would love to have those green beans. So my brother proceeded to get up from the table, walk over to the counter where there are some envelopes.
Oh, no.
And he walked back and took his beans and put them in the envelope, licked it and sealed it and said, mail it to him. Needless to say, he didn't walk for a couple of weeks, and appropriately so. So hopefully Judah doesn't get
Please
to that
Please don't tell point. Him that. That's
right, so, but you're talking about, I love the way you started out. You said, sometimes we have to do for them what they do not know that they need to do for themselves.
Yep.
Expand on that.
Well, and the beauty of that is if I don't teach my kids now, and you veteran parents know this, but if I don't teach him that healthy eating matters, then he will grow in more than one way, and one's good, upwards, one's not great, width. And so I want to teach him that disciplines, habits, important, healthy choices are sometimes difficult, but they matter. And the cool part about this is while that was forcing him to eat green beans and broccoli, again, it's not my preference all the time either, the metaphor breaks down when it comes to Bridgepoint because we're not serving the next gen green beans and broccoli. We're creating environments that are engaging and they're exciting and they're complementing what hopefully the values and the teachings that you guys are that are important to you and that you want to pass on to your kids at home. That happens here, except it happens to the nth level. I mean, I wish I could take all of you back to see what's going on in Kids Point right now. But one, that's a security thing, and two, we're kind of worried that if you saw that, you'd never come back in here. All right. It's just so fun, so engaging, and right on their level. And then spin in this room. I mean, we flip the place and pull out all the stops technologically and band and everything else to make sure that what we're doing is engaging and exciting, but it comes alongside them in a way that reinforces what hopefully is happening at home.
So you're talking to some parents and you're talking to some grandparents and some others. So why should, I mean, there's a lot of things that they could be doing, right? And they're getting ready. We're in commitment season. We're signing our kids up for this club, this and club that, and organization this and organization that. Why should they be committed to what we're doing here?
Yeah, I love that. As a pastor, but even if I'm going to be really honest and speak from the heart, as a dad, faith and things related to faith is not something that I just want to hope gets taught to my kid. It's not something that I hope he stumbles into. The reality is that for all of us, we have 24 hours in a day, and none of us have time for anything anymore, right? That's the excuse we use. In reality, we make time for the things that are really, really important. So sometimes commitment looks like, because while my three-year-old's already watching, what does daddy prioritize his time to be? And what does he sometimes put off or not do that aren't that important? So for me, for my family, and I want to create a space here at Bridgepoint that prioritizes that when your kids are here, they're going to have fun because this faith stuff is important.
So if the faith thing's important, then this verse that I'm about to bring up is very applicable. For that reason, we, you and me, have made the decision to bow our knees before the Father. We've made that decision. And we've recognized that it's from Him who every family in heaven and on earth is named. You understand that your family was named by God. He purposed your family. He put it together for a purpose. And it wasn't so that you could sign them up for club this or club that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But when that takes priority over the things that you should be committed to, then it becomes a problem, right? And we live in a society where that happens oftentimes, and we forget that God ordained our family. It goes on, and it says that according to the riches of His glory, that's those blessings versus the curse, right, that they may be granted to you and strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And then the end result of that is so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, but not just our hearts, Judah's heart, Juliet's heart, our kids' heart, that they and us are rooted and grounded in love, and then as a result know the strength that to comprehend all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that they, you, me, be filled with all the fullness of God. Let me ask you a question. Rhetorical, don't raise your hand, don't respond. Do you want that for your kids? Then you have to be committed. And it isn't part-time commitment, it's full-time commitment. It becomes a priority. Making sure your kids are healthy is a full-time commitment. Now, I want to go back to verse 17, Tyler, because it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's what we are trying to help happen for kids, that they can become rooted and grounded. What do those words mean to you when you think about them?
Yeah, especially within the context of Next Gen, can you imagine if we were intentional with our students, which we are, and intentional with our kids, that they reach a place that they become really, really confident of what's true, of whose they are, their identity, and their purpose? Man, imagine the confidence they can walk in a world that is so noisy and so loud and so cluttered, and a culture that's really willing to say, no, this is what's true, or this is do whatever feels good. But instead, that these students are rooted and grounded in who they are and in what they were made to do, and they get to experience the life they were created to live, not just stumbling into being a shrub, but really being confident and grounded in becoming that tree they were made to do, to stand out and to stand up and to be a voice for positivity and voice for change and a voice for love that comes through knowing God and their purpose that's found in Him.
Yeah, so we're either raising shrubs or we're raising trees. God's plan is that you raise a tree, being rooted. In the original language, when Paul was writing, he was writing in Greek, and that word rooted means firm or fixed. Established. Isn't that what you want for your kids? Right? That word grounded means stable, to have a foundation. That's what we want for them. That's what they want. But we have to be committed to that process, right? And that's what y'all are committed to doing.
That's it. That's what we're doing every Sunday.
Yep. So do me a favor. Pass the mic to Brennan Washington, because Brennan Washington's job here is to help people be committed, but in a different way. Committed to community, committed to connection, committed to growth. So you work in the area of next steps,
right?
And your job is to make sure people not only are taking next steps, but that they're taking the right next steps and next steps towards community and growth. So when you think about commitment as it relates to what you strive to move people towards, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. Well, I believe that our commitments tend to last longer in the context of community in the first place, because Bridgepoint Value, we are better together. That's not just a fancy, you know, saying that we have, but I believe that, and we believe that wholeheartedly, because I know that I am personally, spiritually better when I'm surrounding myself with the right people. I can go so much further, I can achieve so much more when I'm doing it with people around me that want things for me. If you take that and think about the importance of it, the Bible is pretty clear about, you know, you are meant to do this thing in the context of community with other people. You're not meant to do it alone.
Okay, so again, let's say that somebody's sitting out here a little bit cynical, a little bit, you know. Okay, Brennan, I'll give you Sundays, but you're asking me to join a group. You're asking me to come to a learning environment. Why should I do that? I mean, can't I be committed and just show up here on Sunday at whatever time I arrive? Why are you asking me to go further? What would you say to that?
I would say, I'll just use an example of marriage, for example.
Okay. So, by the way, celebrating first year of marriage, first year. Anniversary,
yep.
Today.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
We made it.
Yeah, don't applaud for him. Applaud for his wife, because she puts up with it.
She deserves most of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if I was to give an hour of my week to my wife and call that my commitment and hope to grow our marriage to a healthy place, by just giving 1 hour a week, I think I can just tell by the looks around the room, that's not a good way to go about it. So if that is you and you say, well, I can only give 1 hour, or I only want to give 1 hour, I would encourage you with the next step of, you know, just try a group. Try getting around community. Try getting around people, and just watch what that will do for you spiritually and just relationally.
Yeah, so that leads me to a great verse. Hebrews chapter 10 says, and let us consider. So what we're asking people to do is just consider their commitment. Consider maybe being more committed. Consider how to stir one another to love and good works. I love that stir up,
yeah.
Right? Because mixing it up, getting other people. first of all, you know, bringing all the ingredients together and mixing them up and doing it together is a part of the process, but it's stirring each other towards something. And in this case, he talks about love and good works.
Right.
So when you see those two words, what do you think about?
I just think about my community, my group of people that I surround myself with. We meet every Wednesday morning, and I know that when I show up, that at the end of whatever we talk about, at the end of that time, I'm going to leave stirred up and spurred on to love Christ more, to love people more. And they pull that out of me, whether or not I want it that morning. It's just being around them stirs up that feeling of love and the feeling of doing good work, such as, you know, faith examples and stepping in like that.
Yes. Yeah, so that time together is fuel,
right? Yeah.
And it's fueled by love. It's fueled by love and care for each other, love for in relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And then it stirs you towards, good things, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. Do me a favor. Pass the mic to Mike Kalap. Mike Kalap does all of our leadership development. And I want to kind of throw a big idea out as Mike walks up here. God wants every part of us. And I think Mike would definitely agree with that. And Mike, when I think about somebody who really strives to help people discover all that they can be, right? It's your job. Your job is leadership development. Your job is pastoral care. You work through our prayer and care ministries. You kind of do all of that. And you would agree, and I think a lot of people would just nod their heads to this, saying, yeah, I get that. God wants every part of us, but then we're not committed, right? So let me push it a little bit further. God wants all of every part of us. Okay? That's a whole different thing, right? Oh, yeah, I get that. God wants every part of us. But he really does want all of it. And so, Mike, when you think about your life, when you think about commitment, you're an example for me of somebody who has given all of themselves to God. How many years have you been in ministry?
Well, about 50.
50 years in ministry.
Yes.
Yeah? That deserves a round of applause, guys. I'm telling you. 50 years in ministry. And you're still in ministry. You retired, and then now you're back here with us. How have you been committed to that?
Well, first of all, having the opportunity to serve as I did is an incredible honor. And what I mean by that is only 10% of those who become pastors retire as a pastor in the United States. Only 10%. So that tells you Tim and I are in this dangerous business, all right? I mean, it is a very, very challenging world. So for me, when I was led to Jesus, and I received Jesus as my Savior, the fellow who talked to me about it said, Mike, what I really want you to do is not just be on the receiving end of receiving forgiveness, but I want you to be on the giving end, and I want you to give God a blank check with your life and say, God, whatever, whenever, however, what it doesn't matter. If you just make it clear to me, I want you to say yes and do it every single time. In fairness, I have not always lived up to that, for sure. However, what I know is that unless we stack hands, and I'm a former coach as well, so unless we stack hands, that God wants all of us, every part of us, but all of it. Because without all of it, it's kind of half-hearted. For example, so Brennan, who was just out here, you know, we were talking about his anniversary today. What would it have been like 12 months ago today if, you know, whoever married them said, Brennan, how about you? Will you commit yourself to Corey? And he goes, well, I mean, most of me, you know, that would have been a runaway bride situation, and they wouldn't be celebrating today. So you just don't go into commitment like that. So you either are committed or you're not. I didn't say you're either perfect and keep all your commitments or you don't, because any of us, you know, can have those problems.
So you've been committed for quite a while. And a lot of times what we do is we tend to say, okay, you know, I've been committed, but I'm going to take a break.
Right.
I'm going to be, let me take a little break from this. I'll come back to it maybe. Or I'm going to give this, or I'm going to give that. Let me just add one little addition to this statement. God wants all of us, every part of us. God wants all of us, every part of us, always.
Right.
All the time. And so here you are, somebody who retired, and you know, I came to you and said, "No, God's not done with you. Let's get going." And we, you know, open up an opportunity for you to be here. What drives you to continue to be committed like that?
Well, I think the thing that I try to filter through my mind when people are asking me to commit to things, okay? And I know all of you have people who pull on you, opportunities, all right? So you have that. People have ideas, grand ideas for your time. So the thing that I've always used as a filter for this is, will it matter when I'm not here anymore? Will it? And the opportunity that Tim and our church have given to me allows me to speak into the lives of some of our pastors who are the same age as our grandchildren.
Speak for yourself. Not quite there yet.
Well, I coach Tim as well. All right. But Tim's like my little brother, all right? So we to know that Brennan and Tyler and Trevor and Amy Willoughby and Annie Tamia, to know that these men and women are going to be serving Jesus and making a big difference in this world just causes me to feel like nobody has put upon me, okay? No one dragged me off the beach. I love being able to do. The other thing, Tim, is, of course, how could you? But when I was their age, I had no idea that the commitments that I was making in my 20s would bring dividends that I'm enjoying in my old age. Okay, so I'll be 72 next month. So here's the thing.
Don't clap for 72. But now, hey, so, it's something you have not said yet. You made a commitment to your wife. You've been married how many years?
50 years this past June.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Now that's worth applauding for right there.
So here's what I know at 70. That I didn't know in my 20s. And I tell these young guys around here this all the time. I never dreamed my life would be like it is today. I could not have imagined this. And the reason I say that is because every significant thing in my life today started with making a commitment. January 5th, 1964, I committed my life to Jesus Christ. I received Him as my Savior. June the 8th, 1968, I committed my life to my wife. And we both believed we'd make 50 years and more that day. All right? So I had made the whoever, whatever commitment when I received Christ. And so the grace of God, honestly, when I get to this all day today, I felt like tearing up. The grace of God that has just poured blessings, allowed us to keep our promises, allowed us to keep our commitments. Nancy and I both feel so humbled by this. We love our church. I love my pastor.
Let me ask you something, Mike. You and I talked, I think it was yesterday, day before, something. We've been busy with GLS and all that kind of stuff. Right. But you and I both made the statement that we are grateful for parents
right.
that would not let us not be committed.
Right.
Yeah, because I can remember as a kid, and I have parents come to me all the time, I just can't get my kids to come. Don't make it an option.
Really?
Because you know what? If it had been an option in my house, I wouldn't have gotten up because I enjoyed sleep. Right? And I was like any other kid. I enjoyed sleep, and I would have stayed in bed. My parents didn't make it an option. It wasn't an option. It wasn't for you. It wasn't an option
no.
that we came.
No.
And we didn't make it an option for our kids. This is what we do, and we're going to be committed to it. And both of you, you and I, can both say we're here today because of that.
And we can say our kids know and love God and are serving Him today.
Because of that.
I believe that.
Yep.
I think it's just strong language now, okay? So this might offend a couple of you. But Tim offends you sometimes, so it's no problem, right?
Never been afraid of that.
So we can do that, all right? So here's the truth, straight fire truth, all right? I really believe that to support our children's minds and their academic achievements and to support their physical health and ignore their spiritual well-being is child abuse.
Mm-hmm. That's a cursed process, as Jeremiah would say.
It's exactly that.
Process.
It's exactly that. So, of course, I'm in full support of what Tyler was saying today.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for your commitment. Would you all say thank you to Mike,
thank you,
to Tyler, and to Brennan about their journey about commitment. So here's what we're trying to get you to do today, is just consider your commitment level. What does it look like for you? And the picture of the tree and the shrub is Jeremiah's visual, but I want to give you another visual. When you came in, you had a nail in your chair. If you didn't find it, it's that thing that's poking you underneath you right now. Okay, get it out. Get your nail in your hand. Everybody get the nail in your hand. Because this is a great picture of commitment. The nail by itself really is just a piece of metal. It really has no purpose by itself. In and of itself, it's just a piece of metal. Only when the nail allows itself to be driven into something does it find its purpose, right? And so it's like the nail that is stuck in this piece of wood here. It's allowing it to be driven in there. The nail right here just has no purpose. But when I place the nail into the wood and I allow it to be driven in, then it finds its purpose. Now that requires commitment on the nail's part. Commitment to be driven. Commitment to be placed. Commitment to be moved. Commitment to be hammered. Commitment to stay in the wood. See, but that's the problem that we have today. We don't stay in the wood. We hop around from thing to thing, from place to place, organization to organization, never being fully committed. I want you to consider the nail. And I want you to ask you a question and be really honest with yourself. How committed are you? Are you really in? Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to take the nail home with you. And I want you to put it in a place where you'll see it every single day. Hopefully multiple times during the day. Place it someplace where you'll see it. And ask yourself, am I committed? Because by yourself, you're just a nail. Okay? By yourself, you're just a prickly shrub in the desert. But when you allow yourself to be placed, committed into something, then you find your purpose. Then you find your focus. So I want you to take the nail home with you. And I want you to think about it all week long. Don't want you to do anything but just consider. And then I want you to bring the nail back with you next week. Just bring it back with you. And we'll talk about it a little further. You know, a number of years ago, quite a few years now, I guess probably 30 years or so, I had this friend. His name was J.D. J.D. was an amazing individual. He was a bodybuilder. And J.D. had a 19.5-inch neck. He was huge. He was just this massive specimen of a man, just unbelievable. And traveled all over, did bodybuilding exhibitions, and won lots of awards, lots of competitions. He was a massive individual. And J.D., when he graduated from college, he went to work for a company in Atlanta. And one of his jobs was just maintaining facilities of a big, giant corporate kind of center. And one day he was closing up part of the facility, and he noticed a light as he went to turn it off, that there was a fluorescent bulb that was flickering in this area. And he thought, well, I'll change that before I go home. He was by himself. So he grabs a ladder and he climbs up, about an 8-foot ladder, standing on top of the ladder, simply unscrewing the light bulb. And for some reason, he slipped and he fell. Just fell 8 feet, but he fell right on his head. Split his spine wide open. He was paralyzed from the neck down. Doctor said if he didn't have such a big, huge neck, he would have killed him. Severed his spine. I remember going and visiting J.D. And I remember talking to him. And I'm like, J.D., I'm so sorry. I mean, he literally could not move. Neck down. I'm so sorry this has happened to you. I'm so sorry because you've been so committed to your bodybuilding and so committed to that. And I knew in my mind that that was just all going to go away. And he said, Tim, let me tell you something. He said, my commitment to my bodybuilding has been important to me. He said, but you know what? As I lay here in the condition I'm in now, that's all going to go away. He said, but my commitment to Christ, that'll never leave me. Whether I can move or whether I can't move, my commitment to Christ will sustain me, not my bodybuilding. What are you committing to? And will it last? There's nothing wrong with JD being a bodybuilder. And he did that really well. But what rode over the top of that was his commitment to Christ. What are you committing to? What are you committing your children to? What are you committing your family to? Let's pray.